I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.
Time to take KSL Outdoors. This is Utah's most listened to program about hunting, fishing, camping, and high adventure. All the gear you need to buy, where the fish are biting, and secret places in Utah and around the world where you can have a blast. KSL Outdoors with host Tim Hughes on KSL News Radio 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Good morning and welcome to a brand new day. And we'll welcome you not only to this Saturday, but back for a little tour of Utah and maybe even beyond the borders today of the great outdoors. It's a pleasure to have you with us. And we all need this little break away from the news of the week, don't we? I know with Utah's morning news Monday through Friday, I need this couple of hours to sort of relax my brain and talk about things that are a little more fun to share and share some time with some great friends. Let me just say we're expecting a very hot weekend, so the excuse you need now to get out of the valley and up to the higher country to either do some fishing or maybe just get away to do some camping, if you didn't have enough reasons already, will be to escape the heat. Upper 90s today. Tomorrow we'll be knocking on the door, if not getting, all the way to triple digits, expecting 100 tomorrow. Let's head to Sugar House and up to the Sky Call Camp. That's where Russell the Muscle Smith is with us this morning. Hello, Russ.
Well, good morning. Yeah.
Speak to me.
You got me?
Yeah, I got you. I got you. And you know what? It sounds beautiful.
I started talking.
We're trying Russ.
It is a lot better.
Yeah. Trying Russ on some new technology here instead of on the phone line this morning. Yeah. So far, so good.
Well, good. I wanted to say that when we're in that position here, we get tired of the news and world events. We just get in the car and drive up to Park City.
Yeah.
And we get out of the gunk, and nobody really cares about anything up there. And we get a bite to eat and come home.
Yeah, just a little road trip will do wonders in recharging the battery. You and I talked about that a couple of weeks ago when we made our drive down to Ruby's at Bryce Canyon. And
right.
What a difference that made in an attitude adjustment coming back home.
Relief.
Speaking of technology, later in the show, I want you to tell me about this data device. I guess you've had it for a while, but all of a sudden there seems to be a little more demand on it. So I want to take a little time before we close out the show to share more information about it with people.
Sounds good. Yeah.
All right. Let's bring Navadomskis into the conversation. Speaking of getting away, I think I actually saw pictures of doing a little. Wow. What were you doing?
Well, we were paddleboarding.
Paddleboard.
My little lady likes to paddleboard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And her big man needs the exercise.
No, yeah. No question I need the exercise. And, you know, she'll suffer 18 holes with me. She'll sit in the cart with a cold drink. And I know she doesn't give a crap about me playing golf. So I paddleboard with her, and it's fair.
Yeah. Well, I'll just thank you for doing one thing, and that is posting three pictures of her and only one of you. I don't think you could have held your gut in much longer than that.
You know, I didn't want any of me. In fact, she goes, we have no pictures of you. And as I was walking out of the water, she took one, and I kind of did a fake pose. And it got posted, so... Sorry, that's the only photo of me in the last 10 years.
No, I thanked you for that, actually.
Yeah.
It did look like a good time. And speaking of a way to cool off, get a little exercise and recharge the battery, that sort of filled all of those boxes.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a good core exercise, and it's beautiful. And, you know, when I'm playing golf and I say, honey, you having a good time? She goes, it's beautiful out here. So we sit down on the boards after a paddle, and she goes, you having fun? I say, it's beautiful out here.
You just keep going back to the same answer. Attaboy. Try and keep yourself from getting into trouble. Russ, I don't know if you got away at all this week, did you?
Right, Russell.
I can't remember. Okay, he's thinking about it. If you have to think about it, then your answer is no.
You know what? We were up at the cabin last weekend.
Okay.
So we got out of town, you know, and had fun with the family and all that stuff. And we're planning a road trip to see Ranger Stan a week from now.
Oh, good.
Go up and do some things in Montana.
She has she has a new home and a new puppy, I see.
That's right. That's right. I'm a new grandpa.
P-A-W, Paul.
That's right.
speaking of pets, I know last week was a tough one for you because you had to say goodbye to one you've had in the family for a long time.
Yeah, a week ago, we let old Smokey go. It was time for her. She was in a lot of pain. And I'm like every other dog owner. I probably waited a little too long to do it. And I did a lot of studying, though. You know, we've had to put other dogs down through the years. And I just did not want to do it on this. I almost backed out at the last minute, but it was the right thing to do.
Yeah. We felt bad. Sorry for the family, but those times come for all of us.
I appreciate that.
That are pet owners.
Oh, yeah.
You are sort of fading in and out on us with the cell coverage there, so be careful where you stand. I know you're not on a sat phone, but we are testing out a new app on the phone this week. let me tell you what's coming up on the show today, just so everybody knows. Donnell, I guess, is going to check in with us later in this hour from Hunting Divas, and I think she just got back from another trip, did she not?
She did. I think this last week she came back with, I think it was a horseback trip for a week with some ladies. I think that'll be in it. It's always interesting when she checks in with us and lets us know how it goes, because usually these ladies are all novice in what they're doing, so it's a new experience.
And the trip, I'm guessing, was in Colorado, since that's where she's headquartered.
Right.
Yeah. Mark Hadley will be joining us. There's an old familiar name for us. He will be, he used to be, you know, our main connection at the Division of Wildlife and was replaced by Faith Jolly after Mark moved on to do other things with the Division of Wildlife Resources. So he's joining us to talk about the remaining deer elk permits that are only going to be sold online this year, beginning on July 16th. So we'll get that deadline out there for everybody to be aware of. Our one-tank trip with Bob and Mark will take us to Hanksville today, and they've done some exploring, and we'll map out many of the options for you to go down and have a great time down around Lake Powell. So we'll check in with them later. And we'll have our usual fish bite segment, of course, with Navidomskis, or as I like to call him, Nostradomskis, coming up on the show. Do me a favor, Navi, if you can. I don't know if you're in front of a computer, and you don't need to do it right this second, but I posted some pictures of some gigantic fish that have been caught in Utah in the last week, and I was curious if the one was a tiger trout. Caught up.
Well, I will. I'll look during the break. Like I say, I'm at home here in K-Town, and my son is working from home. So I will get him online to see if he can show me those photos.
Current Creek Reservoir, they caught this thing. But I'll wait for you to take a look at it, and then you can tell me actually whether it is a tiger.
I guarantee it's going to be, yeah.
Yeah, and it's massive.
I'll have a look right now.
All right. The other question I wanted to throw out real early, because I'm afraid we're going to run out of time in some of our other segments with the number of guests we have, is this idea that I know Dave and Dujanovic were talking about earlier this week on their show on KSL about looking for some comment from the public on this idea of a little Cottonwood Canyon gondola. Have you looked into this at all, Navi?
This is all we talk about at our house. My son and I, who's been very involved with this situation, we have, you know, we have ideas, and Nostradamus predicts the future.
Yeah.
But I think they should make a giant gateway mall there at the mouth of Big Cottonwood and launch it from there. So it goes kind of over the mountain. It's absolutely the best thing. And we have visited every situation regarding the problems with that canyon. And the gondola seems the most expensive, but in the long term, it's going to be the best overwhelmingly idea we have.
You know what?
And they could call it like Olympic Square. I mean, there'll be all kinds of retail. It'll be the hub. It'll be wherever they film Utah. There'll be that spot where the gondola is launched. Just, you know, by that 7-Eleven there on the big mouth of Big Cottonwood on Wasatch Boulevard, I think. Mm-hmm. I don't know what it is, a gravel ditch is there.
Yeah. How many times have you sat in a line of cars waiting to get up that canyon?
Oh, I know. You know, my son is so vehement about this. He's moving to Montana. In fact, he leaves next week. He's already moved to Montana because of the future of skiing in Utah, as he says it.
Hmm. There were three options on the table of solving problems getting up and down that canyon, and not to mention the limited parking at some of the resorts, too. Then you get cars parked on the road, which causes some other safety concerns, and then you got to walk a long way in your boots, and that's no fun either. But they were looking at either widening the road, which is obviously going to cause some environmental concerns up there.
Yeah.
They were talking about adding buses, tunnels, or tolling, and then this idea of a high-speed gondola.
Yeah. And gondola is the only answer.
I mean, love this idea.
Yeah, it's the only answer. Environmentally, it's the least impactful, and it's going to be the best. I mean, if you just follow Europe, they've had this for a long time, and they just said, we're not dealing with roads, we're making gondolas, and that's how the future should be, and we should do it too. And by the way, this would be the Olympics forever, because they're looking for one spot for the Olympics. I don't know if you know this. There's only 11 places it can be held worldwide. And so Utah is number one, and they says, why don't we just do it every year in Utah? So this just fixes all the problems. We need to just make peace with it, make Salt Lake City ski city USA, and then make a giant gondola with six gondolas that go up and down. And it doesn't go up the canyon. It goes up the mountain, so it doesn't really alter the views there.
Yeah. Actually, what I think the IOC is looking into is three different places that they would just rotate.
Yeah.
And it may end up being one, but three different places to rotate. Salt Lake City would certainly be on that. But here's the idea. They're talking about this gondola being called the Gondola Plus Lakai Base Station. And it would move the gondola's base station away from the mouth of the canyon,
right,
add a below-grade parking garage at the base station, and then reroute UTA buses from two transit hubs to serve the base station itself. What a great way to get people up the canyon, though.
It's a no-brainer, really. You look at it. This is what we have to do. And, yeah, we're biting the bullet. And in the future, we'll look back and say, we were so smart.
Yeah. They are inviting public comment on this, though, if you want to chime in on any of those three things, or if you think this gondola idea is a great idea. I would absolutely love just knowing that when I got to the mouth of the canyon, I could actually get to the resort in a quick and easy fashion, not to mention what it's going to do to save environmental problems up and down that canyon forever. So,
and, you know, it makes it a year-round resort now, because the tourism that would come just because of the gondola ride to Snowbird, it would be packed all summer as well.
Well, and Russ, that's your point, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's the other place we went over the week. We went up the canyon and back over to Park City. And even in the summer, that road is packed with cars.
Yeah. Yeah, but it would be a beautiful ride, whether it was winter or summer, just to get on the gondola and head that direction. Anyway, we hope people will chime in on that, and we'll see where it goes. Obviously, public comment, just the very early stages of how that could actually come about. Then there's funding, then there's environmental impact. There's a lot of things that have to happen. We need to take a break. We'll do that. We'll come back with some news of the week coming up next here on KSL, so don't go away.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas,
in the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now, too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, now available anywhere you get your podcasts.
All right, time for a little news of the week here. Tim, along with Russ from Scott Call, Navadoskis is also with us this morning. and again, testing out some new technology for Russell, which we're excited about because you ought to be able to get this kind of quality sound from wherever you may be, as long as you've got either Wi-Fi
or it's excellent.
Cell service. Yeah. So
it makes it so much easier for me on this end, too.
Yeah, and it frees up a phone line, so we can have everybody together while we have guests, which is fantastic for me. Just a reminder, coming up in the next half hour, I look forward to having Donnell back on with us from the Huntin' Divas. She's just back from, we think, a horsebacking trip, and usually it's always all female, but it's usually a lot of women doing these things for the first time, and she gets to see the excitement firsthand, but for her to share it with us is always fun for us as well, so we'll look forward to talking with her. Navi, did you take a look at that picture on our Facebook page I asked you about?
Yes, I did, Tim. That is a beast. That is a hog's hog.
Yeah. And that is a tiger trout, right?
Yes, it is. It's a tiger trout. I'm not next to the picture now. I would tell you how long it is. But if people want to know how long fish are, just look at the fingers. You can measure fingers. It's over 30, maybe 35. That's a pig, and it's got a belly on it. That thing's, I don't know, 20 pounds maybe?
I don't know.
Monster.
I don't know. And I was surprised that the Division of Wildlife Resources posted the picture but didn't give any details, any stats on it. But Brian Peterson caught that thing at Current Creek Reservoir recently. So that'll inspire you to get out there and wet
up. Well, it also depleted all the cutthroat population because you can see that dang thing has been eating them for a year.
Yeah. You're right about that. Hey, one of my favorite stories this week on our News of the Week, we do poaching stories all the time about, the damage done, the cost involved, the charges that are filed, and the consequences of poaching. But I love this story about a bear that was illegally poached in Utah that recently got new life inside a high school as a bear mascot. Mountain View High School, the home of the Bruins, now has a taxidermy bear mount that they can proudly display in their front lobby as you go through. And the bear itself was recovered after a 2018 poaching case in southern Utah. And the conservation officer, Jeremy Wilcox, who was assigned to the case, said it all began when officials noticed a bear with a collar going to the same place every day. And it helped them locate a pair of illegally used bait stations. And during their investigation, they learned that this bear had been killed at one of the stations. Anyway, long story short, they tried to decide what to do with this thing and then came up with this idea somehow that the school would benefit from it. The kids would obviously benefit from it. And what a great way to teach a little biology to the kids that go to school there.
Yeah, that's a great idea. Nice. That is good use of a misplaced deed there for sure.
Yeah. So if you get a chance, again, go to our Facebook page and look up that story. It is a good one. There was another story. Well, we'll save that one for Fish Bites coming up. No surprise to me over the weekend, the holiday weekend, which I hope you guys had a great 4th of July. It was a crazy one in my neighborhood with fireworks galore. And reports were that they had a 150% increase in some places in sales of fireworks this year. And luckily, we all did a pretty good job of keeping things safe. There were a couple of small fires, but for the most part, were put out by garden hoses before the firefighters actually got involved. But there were also 55 citations issued for quagga mussel violations over the holiday weekend. So people not getting the message, I guess, in some cases about decontaminating their boats or their personal watercraft or whatever they're taking out there. So just want to remind everybody that there are consequences to that as well. And then you may or may not find this surprising, but park officials cite more holiday drivers, and we're talking about those on the water with their boats, with marijuana offenses than alcohol. Does that surprise anybody?
Wow, that is new for sure.
Yeah. All I can say is, wow.
35 officers from 5 agencies were out. Division of Park and Rec, U.S. Fish and Wildlife, Weber County Sheriff's Office, along with the DWR. And here's the rundown, the results according to the state. 156 citations issued, including 25 for marijuana possession, 26 for possession of drug paraphernalia, and probably, you know, 25 of those went to the same 25 that got the possession charge. 12 for having an open container of alcohol. 6 for being a minor in a possession of alcohol. 5 for DUI. And they just want everybody to understand that field sobriety tests were administered over the weekend. But, you know, driving impaired is driving impaired. Whatever you happen That's to right. be using as a substance, not a laughing matter, although the headline kind of caught my attention with a smirk.
Yeah, you know, Tim, those boats are dangerous. You know, we've had some very, very serious things occur on our lakes because of, you know, driving impaired. A boat will kill you.
No doubt. And unfortunately, what happens is people that are impaired get out of the boat, usually don't have a life vest on, and think they're going to swim or get acting a little crazy, and they don't have the cognitive skills to even save their own life.
Natural selection.
Natural selection, as you call it. All right, we're going to take another break. We've got a news update coming on the half hour, so that is next. And on the other side, we'll look forward to talking with Donnell from Hunting Divas. And we'll get an update on what that trip out in the wilds of Colorado were like when we come back on KSL Outdoors Radio.